So I haven't spoken in front of people like this for 17 years. I was a senior at Vinard, and we had to give a senior chapel. Take this time. I just want to pray real quick because I know that the Lord has fertile soil when we are weak, and I want you to know that it's not about me at all today. So I just want to take the time to pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me today to show your glory through my life, through the life of my family, through the brokenness, through these and I just pray that you be with me now. In your name I pray. Amen. So like I said, it's been 17 years since I've spoken. And 17 years ago, a week before I was supposed to give my senior chapel, batteries. It's on. Clip it up. You told me to keep it down. Is that better? I have a soft voice. Okay. So 17 years ago, a week before I was supposed to give my senior chapel, I suffered, an ectopic pregnancy. I was in the hospital and lost twins. And that was a really hard time for me, obviously. And my professors were like, you don't have to talk. You don't have to, goodness sakes, you don't have to, do this now if you don't want to. And I just felt like it's when we're broken that, when there's nothing left of us, that the Lord gets to talk. And so I gave that message. And as I was thinking about it through the week, when we go through hard times, a lot of times we ask why. Why is this happening to me? Why did this happen? What could I have done different? And through that, he gave me this acronym: wait on the Lord, hold on to his promises, and yield to his will. And that message has come back to me several times in my life, obviously. That wasn't the only hard thing I've ever gone through. And as I've gone through the last few years, the yielding part is the part that has stood out to me and kind of what I want to focus on today. As I was saying, the last few years have been pretty tough. There's been a lot of loss. There's a parallel to the things that there's always been loss. Everybody has loss in their life. And it doesn't really matter how hard we try to stop these things. They always happen. I grew up in a home, I had good parents, but my dad was an alcoholic, and he also had mental illness. And so my life was, it seemed normal to the outside. It wasn't we were destitute or anything, but it brought about a lot of instability. And as I grew older, I discovered that my coping mechanisms would always come into play, and I'd always try to control, and I'd always try to manipulate things so that I could feel safe and comfortable. And we all know that that's not how life works. We don't get to be the boss many times. So things come our way, and I am just always trying to cope with that in some form or another. Because we don't get to say, but I think the Lord teaches us clearly how we can handle it, who we run to, and where we go when we are going through those hard times. So I hope that I can encourage you with the things that I've learned and am learning over the last years. So like I said, I honestly didn't really know where to start when Joe asked me, because I look back at the last, for sure, 4 years, and it's just been kind of blow after blow. I'm like looking in my journals, and it's just like loss after loss after loss. And one of the things that stood out, and I feel like it was kind of like the catalyst of this season in my life. In 2019, my grandma's house was flooded. Like, they had really bad floods up in northwest Iowa. And her neighborhood had flooded before, but this time it was different. And it completely, like, ruined her house. And coming from a broken home, grandma's house was one of the houses in my life that was stable. Like, it was always there. We could always go there. It was solid. And, you know, as we worked through that process, going through the house and all of that, you know, God began, you know, tearing at my heart the things that I've held on to that to keep me safe and secure. Because honestly, we all know, and this is what I'll get to, is like, it's only Him that will always be stable. Everything else can be broken down. So the next year, my dad passed away, and I went up to see my grandma. I think it was just a year or two later even, and the house hadn't been torn down yet, but right before I went up, the house was torn down, her house, and I decided to drive by, and I was expecting, I think, a graded lot. Like, I expected kind of things to be cleared out and whatever. Instead, I found it was rubble still. It was my grandma's house in rubble. Sorry. And through that, I felt the Lord start to tear the things in my heart down and saying, these have to be torn down so that we can make something new. So, as I've been looking at things in my life and the tearing down, I also came across in Colossians 3, because when we tear things down, we can put something new. Okay, so this Colossians 3, I'm going to read 1 through 17 if you want to read with me. So it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, where you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all of them, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it kind of set in my heart things that I have built up. There's a lot of commands in this passage. I see set your sights on the realities of heaven, think about things of heaven, put to death sinful things lurking within, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie. And all of those things, I can be honest, I've dealt with almost all of them in the last, you know, for sure, year, okay? And it seems like a huge task. Because even if they're the smallest crumb within you, whatever it is, whatever sin that you might think, oh, it's kind of just way back here, it's not a big deal, God's gonna clear everything out and get the crumb out. It can be this big, and if we let it stay, it grows and grows. And so he wants to clean it out. He wants to tear it down. He wants to make something new. Because later it says, put on a new nature. Clothe yourself with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Clothe yourselves with love. Let peace rule in your hearts. Always be thankful. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. So it just seems like a lot, right? It seems like that's a pretty hefty task. I can't do it. Even if I try, I can't do it. How can we do that? And it requires new life in Christ. I imagine most of us here have accepted Christ as our Savior. And so we have new life in Christ. But it's not about just being saved. It's about putting and doing these actions. It requires a move on our part. And sometimes we think it's elevation, but really it's a yielding. It's laying down. Every thought, when I think of when I'm angry, when I think of, you know, all these things that I do when I'm angry, it's usually about myself. It's usually my ego's been hurt. It's usually like I feel something should be done. It's not my expectations. It's not what I wanted to happen. And the Lord's like, let it go. Yield it. And I think that's like one of the hardest things to do. I looked up the definition of yield or to yielding, and one of them is to relinquish possession of something, to give something up. And to go on relinquish is to voluntarily cease to keep or claim, give up. So all of these things, you know, that we deal with, it kind of just comes back to self. What things am I holding on to that need to go? And we cannot do any of these things. We can't put on new nature. We cannot think clearly unless we yield. We can't. When I was in high school, I had a pastor. I was 16 years old, and I was, you know, a hot mess then too. And I had a pastor who would always say to me, because it's all about you, Shannon. It's all about you, isn't it? Like, kind of like joking, but not. And before that time, I was just really naive and under the conception that, misconception, that I was thoughtful and I was always thinking about other people and all this stuff, when really I was always thinking of myself. And it wasn't until then that I really kind of got that idea, like, wow, I am always thinking about me. And I think a lot of us, if we're honest, we all deal with that. And it's probably the hardest battle we have to face as humans. Are we willing to lay ourselves down? The dreams, they can be good things. It's not even just sin. It can be dreams and expectations and goals. It can be all the good things. Are we willing to lay it down? Are we willing to lay our vision of what we think down? We pray the Lord's Prayer every week, and we say, "Thy will be done." Elizabeth Elliot said, "To pray, Thy will be done, I must be willing to answer, or if the answer requires it, that my will be undone." Are we willing to let the house be torn down? Are we willing? I came across this, I don't even know his thing. It's called Dying to Self, and it's all these things. And some of them are good, and I'm going to read it just to give us some direction here. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is still happy, being counted worthy to suffer with Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and your best intentions misinterpreted, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but rather take it all in patient, loving silence, knowing that Christ alone is your defender, that is dying to self. When you patiently bear annoyance, disorder, inconvenience, irregularity, and even impunctuality from others, when you feel your time has been wasted and you've been treated harshly and unfairly, and yet you still respond in love, maintaining your peace and enduring these things with meekness as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are unruffled with less than desirable accommodations, uncomplaining with meager food, difficult climates, or rearranged travel schedules, when you maintain cheerfulness even though others are grumpy, when you are loving, kind, and attentive even to those who do you no benefit by their association, when you remain calm despite interruptions to your agenda and plans by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you don't care to refer to yourself in a conversation, when you don't feel the need to boast of your accomplishments and record every good deed you do for the world to see, when you don't itch after commendation and applause, when you don't mind when others are acknowledged and your name is ignored, when you're more concerned with being faithful to God's call, when you're okay to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you see your brother prospering, when you see him succeeding with a project that you contributed to, and yet you can honestly rejoice with him in spirit, being happy to remain behind the scenes, not questioning God, but being grateful that the work is being accomplished so that God is glorified, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. In these last days, the Spirit must bring us to the cross if we would be saved. And once we die on the cross, we will not respond to any slights or against our human flesh any longer, because dead people don't move. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. As I read through that, those are things that I still deal with. I don't always deal with it when I'm criticized or ignored. But those are all things that the Lord's like, you have to let it go. I'm enough. I'm enough. So, if we yield our will, what is God's will for us? What is his intentions? And the second thing that has been kind of stirring in my mind is, what are we here for? What is our purpose? And it just really comes down to brass tacks. It's glorifying the Lord through our life and through the gospel. We have new life. We put on new clothes. I don't know, I feel like women can reside with this a little bit. Like when we get a new outfit, like we're really excited to like go and like show our friends and like, look at this outfit I got, I'm really excited about it. We should be excited about the new life we have in Christ. Like we should be just as, or a million times more excited about the life we have in Christ. And we have hope. And I don't know, if you look at the world outside, there's a lot of hopeless people outside these walls, and sometimes in these walls. We have light, we have hope, and we have to give it to others. We have hope, and his name is Jesus. So we can do all these things through the Holy Spirit, but we have to yield. And when we yield, then we can wield. We can have influence. The definition of wield is to have and be able to use power or influence. So when we yield, when we lay it down, when we rid ourselves of ourselves, there's space to build something new. There's space to yield. There's space to wield. We can have influence because of Christ in us. Nobody's seeing us anymore. They can only see him. That's the goal. People need to know about Jesus. Our family, our friends, our neighbors. And we cannot show the reality of Jesus, his true light, when we're still in the way. So even when things are torn down, like when my grandma's house is torn down, it's in rubble, there's still remnants of the house there. There's still pieces of it there. Nothing else can be put there. It has to be all cleared out. It has to be broken. It has to be torn apart. In one of my devotions from Oswald Chambers, it says Jesus has to annihilate the self in us. That's a pretty harsh word, but that's what's required. It's not pretty, I can tell you, and I think many of you can tell you, it is one of the most painful experiences to let yourself die. And it's not even just one time, it's this process of every minute of every day dying to ourself. Luke 1:79 in the Message says, God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in darkness, those sitting in the shadows of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. It's one foot in front of the other. So a couple years in my devotions, I read My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, and the question he posed was, God has left us on this earth, what for? To be saved and sanctified? We kind of think that's maybe it, but it's not. It's actually to be at it for him. All of our life, all of that we do, our jobs, our daily tasks, to be at it for him. And then he asks, am I willing to be broken bread and poured out wine for him? We're going to have communion here today, and I just want you to think, am I willing to yield? Am I willing to do what Jesus did and break myself apart, to pour out myself, to let it die for him? Am I willing? It takes yielding. It takes humility. It takes laying it down. And I'm not perfect. I don't even claim to be. Not even close. But the Lord requires it of us. He begs of it. He wants it, because that's the point. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Nothing. His glory, bringing Jesus to others, and it requires brokenness and pouring out.